for just another word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we love Thee this evening, and we thank Thee for all that You have done for us and all that You mean to us. We're grateful for the plan of redemption, the wonderful way of salvation. We thank Thee, Father, for this congregation. We pray that Thou shalt continue to settle in our midst. We ask Thee to give liberty and freedom as we endeavor to speak Thy word. And Father, talk to our hearts. May the Holy Ghost deal with every needy soul and give victory, we pray, in this service tonight. And we'll praise You for what You do. We ask it for Your sake. Amen. I want to talk to you a little while about something that's going to keep more church people out of heaven than anything I know. Uncle Buddy preached about this one time, and when he had finished his message on carnality, he said, a man came up to the podium and said, Preacher, he said, I don't take any stock in this carnal nature stuff. And Uncle Buddy looked at him and said, You don't have to. He said, You came here already stocked up. And you know, that's the way it is. We came into this world already stocked up. And God can't forgive that. That has to be cleansed out of our heart. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, you'll notice Paul said, and he's speaking to the Christians in this chapter, he said, and I, brethren. Now that's talking to Christian people. Generically speaking, it takes in the women also. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, or as unto spirit-filled, or as unto sanctified, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I brought out many times that the apostle said these Corinthians were in Christ. He said they were babes in Christ. He said they were carnal in Christ. He said they were brethren in Christ. Actually, they were carnal baby brethren in Christ. Now, there's nothing wrong with churches having carnal baby brethren in Christ. Actually, every church ought to have young converts that have been wonderfully saved and they're candidates for holiness. Every church ought to have babes in Christ. But the tragedy comes when you get some overgrown babies in Christ. You know, when their head hangs over one end of the bassinet and their feet hang over the other end of the bassinet. Overgrown babies. The writer to the book of Hebrews in chapter 5 and about verse 12, he told about some of these overgrown babies in the church. He said that you're still having to have milk when you should be eating strong meat. He said you're still having to be taught when you ought to be teachers. And he said also you're dull of hearing. You know, so many times when we hear the message of holiness and we back away from it, and we really don't respond and go on with all of our heart to seek this experience, friend, after a while we become dull of hearing. And they can just preach and preach, and somehow we can sit there and never do anything about our need. Paul went on and said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. That little word yet is a key word in that passage. It signifies that you do not have to remain carnal. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, he said, are ye not carnal and walk as men? You know, notice over in the book of James, chapter 3 and about verse 14, James said, but the wisdom are for, slips my brain right now. Let me see if I can get that. James said, but, just a moment, it'll come to me. Okay. You know, like the old skunk. Like the old skunk said when the wind changed, said it all comes back to me now. He said, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, he said, glory not and lie not against the truth. In other words, James said, if you know in your heart there's that old carnal something and it causes envy and jealousy and strife. He said, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, he said, don't get them testified. Say, whoo, I'm so glad everything's all right. He said, you'll lie against the truth. He said, this wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. He said, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But then he gives us a verse here. And friend, this is one of the greatest descriptions of holiness I believe we have in the Bible. He said, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Don't you like that? You see, God will purge our hearts. He will purify us. Jesus himself said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And when Peter was testifying before the council at Jerusalem concerning the sanctification of Cornelius' household, in Acts 15 and verse 8, he said, but God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Thank God for the reality of knowing that our heart has been purged, our heart has been purified by faith. He said, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. Now, I like that. Did you know that God's sanctified people are peacemakers? Brother Smool used to say they don't make pieces. Amen. And it's wonderful that God's people that are sanctified are peacemakers. You know, in all the years that I've pastored and have tried to preach, I've never had any trouble out of a sanctified individual. I haven't. A person that's sanctified holy will do everything in their power to keep unity and peace in the church. He said, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts. You know, it's wonderful when you can have sanctified people. They'll just, before they'll cause any disturbance or hinder anything in the church, where principle is not involved, brother, they'd just lay down and let you wipe their feet on them. They're peaceable individuals. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. You know what that means? That means courteous. It means you're not pushy. I've seen some people, they're always so eager, especially, you know, if it's going to benefit them. And they're in such a hurry and they're so pushy in their efforts. But you know, God's not in a hurry. And God's sanctified people are gentle. Then he said, easy to be entreated. You remember Uncle Bud Robinson said, if a man's sanctified, holy, he said, you can warm up to him and he'll warm up to you. And friend, I've found that to be true. People that are sanctified, holy, you can sit down and talk over anything you want to talk over with them. You can entreat them and they'll never blow up. They'll never show a bad spirit. They'll never get angry. But I have been to some folks who profess to be sanctified. And brother, they weren't easy entreated. I remember one brother I went to one time just to try to bring about reconciliation in a matter. Boy, he blew up, and his wife, she screamed and went to the back of the home where they were living. Easy to be entreated. Then he said, full of mercy. There it is again. Full of mercy. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. So, holiness, sanctified heart is full of mercy and good fruits. My, I like that, don't you? You know, I've noticed through the years that if people are genuinely sanctified, they have a sweet spirit about them. And actually, they have the blessed Holy Ghost living on the inside. And Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He said, against such there is no law. You know, Jesus said over there in Matthew chapter 7, about verse 18, he said, a good tree, now this is the words of Christ. He said, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Boy, that's close. He said, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, friend, that lets you know what's going to happen to people who profess to have a holy heart, and in reality they don't have a holy heart. They do not manifest the fruits of the Spirit. But so many times in the background somewhere there are those works of the flesh. A good tree, he said, cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down. That's what's going to happen eventually to people who don't have the goods. They're going to be cast into the fire. He said, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Why, if I go out here and see a fellow that's all dressed up and looks like a holiness individual, and then he throws a fit and has an old carnal spell, or he gives somebody a piece of his mind, I know right off that even though he may profess it, he just don't have the goods. Because that is not the fruits of the Spirit. Some folk have a lot of works of the flesh in the background that are never seen out you'd be surprised if you knew the immorality, the fornication, the adultery. You'd be surprised if you knew people's thoughts sometime and what's in the background. But he said a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Full of mercy and good fruits. He said without partiality. We had a fellow, he was a wealthy individual, and he supposedly attended a hole in his church, but he brought his girl about 13, 14 to our school, wanted to put her in our school. And we accepted her. She seemed like a fine girl. But after a while, the supervisor caught her cheating one day. And then he questioned her about it, and she lied about it. So he gave her a detention and sent it home to her parents, notifying them that she was going to have to remain after school the next day for about 20 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever it was. Well, the next morning, this father came rushing into the office. And I was startled when he came in because I didn't expect this. But boy, he was on his high horse, and he informed me. He said, "What do you mean? What in the world?" He had that detention. He said, "I want you to know right now," said, "my daughter will not lie." Said, "She's never told a lie," and said, "my daughter will not cheat." You know, somebody said, if you want to find out if a person is genuinely sanctified, said, you just touch their little youngin', touch that little child, or touch their pocketbook. Boy, it'll just about reveal it every time. I looked at him and I said, "Sir, I'm sorry. But," I said, "your daughter did cheat. And she evidently has lied to you about it." She did lie. And I took him in the learning center and we went to her little office there. And brother, it was undeniable. He looked at it and we went through it, and he couldn't deny the fact that she had cheated. And then she lied. I looked at him and I said, "Now, if you want your daughter to stay in school here," I said, "she'll have to serve her detention just like all the other children do." Well, he didn't say anything to me. He just went out in a huff. But I heard later on he told the supervisor. He said that old Earl Newton said treats everybody alike. Said he ought to make a difference because of who we are. Yeah. Oh, money bags. Want partiality because of who you are. No wonder the Bible says the love of money is a root of all evil. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. One fellow was trying to get a big crowd in his church. Had a special day coming up. So he heard about this fellow out there on the farm that had a horse, and it was supposed to be a talking horse. And so he went to see him and talked with him. The fellow said, "Yeah." Said. And so on this special Sunday, they brought the horse in. They said he walked down the aisle and went up on the platform. And said somebody in the congregation asked that horse, said, "How many apostles were there?" And said the horse picked up his front hoof and put it down 12 times. Said somebody else said, "How many patriarchs were there?" And said the horse picked up his foot and put it down 12 times. Said some nitwit in the congregation asked him how many hypocrites there were in the church. And said he went into a dance on all fours. without partiality, and without hypocrisy. You know, over in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 6, it says, "For to be carnally minded is death." I looked that up one time. I was in a pastor studying Mr. Barnes' notes. I looked that up in Mr. Barnes' notes. I want to see what he... And sure enough, he said, "For to be carnally minded leads to spiritual death." You know, friend, I'm convinced that the reason 9 people out of 10 backslide is because they fail to go on into holiness. That old carnal mind will eventually lead you into spiritual death. A maid said to her wealthy but miserable mistress one time, she said, "I can tell you why yous is so miserable." And she said, "Well, I wished you would tell me." She said, "It's cause you has to take yourself with you wherever you go." And friend, that's the reason why a lot of church people are so miserable. They've never got rid of that thing. And they have to take that old carnal self with them wherever they go. He said, "Well, Brother Newton, how can I get rid of carnality?" Friend, isn't it wonderful that God has provided an experience and preachers preach it over and over again? Aren't you glad tonight for holiness? Thank God for sanctification. He's provided an experience. Sometimes it's called perfect love. Sometimes it's called the baptism with the Holy Ghost and fire. Really, friend, it doesn't make any difference what you call it. I mean, there's some people never heard of holiness. They walked in the light and God sanctified them. So I'm saying to us tonight, friend, God can sanctify a hungry heart, a heart that wants to have that old nature removed. You say, "Well, Brother Newton, what will it do for me if I get sanctified?" About the best thing I can tell you that it'll do for you, friend, it'll get rid of carnality. Somebody said carnality is like perfume. Said when everything's going good, it purrs. And when things go wrong, it fumes. That's about the way it is. You know, someone mentioned that if a fellow out here owns 100 acres of land and somebody else owns just 1 acre right in the heart of that 100 acres, according to practical law, the guy that owns 100 acres has to give the fellow that owns just 1 acre has to give him right away. And friend, as long as there's one trace of carnality in our heart, to some extent, we have to give the devil right away. And I don't know about you. I don't want there to be one spark, not one trace of carnality in my heart, because I don't want the devil to have any right away in my heart and in my life. You heard about the fellow. He was a salesman. And he was going from house to house selling his goods. He came to this one house and it had a fence all the way around it. And there was a gate just before you got to the sidewalk that led up to the house. And on that gate, there was a sign that said, "Beware of the bulldog." He looked in the fence, looked all around. He didn't see a bulldog anywhere. So he just opened up the gate and walked down the sidewalk, walked, got up on the porch, just had tapped the front doorbell. When he looked around and coming around the corner of the house, there was one of these little English bulldogs, big old white tushes hanging down. And the fellow was startled, but he looked down right on the corner of the porch. There happened to be a number one wash tub. So he reached down quickly and got a hold of that wash tub, and just about the time the dog was ready to spring, he capped that wash tub down over him and then he sat down on it. And that old bulldog began to squirm and turn and twist and growl and scratch and tried to raise up. He was sitting just as hard as he could sit. And about that time, the front door opened. Somebody looked out. And they said, "Sir," said, "won't you come in?" Well, he said, "Yes." He said, "I would." But he said, "I can't." He said, "I've got to sit on this bulldog." Did you know tonight, friends, there's a lot of people in our churches? And they have gifts, and they have ability, and they have talents, and oh, my, what a blessing they could be. How they could be used of God, but they are forever having to sit on the bulldog. I was in a meeting not long ago, and I preached along this line. Brother, there's a fellow came out. He came running out. He came to that altar. Evidently, he had been having a problem for a long time. But that old fellow, after he got clear through, he testified. He said, "You know what, folks?" He said, "I decided that I was going to get rid of the bulldog." I'll tell you, you can get rid of the bulldog. And you can have victory. And God can use your talents and your gifts and your ability for His glory and for the advancement of His cause and kingdom. Young people, don't wait till you get middle-aged or get old before you get sanctified. Go on and get sanctified holy and let God use your life for His glory. Over in the book of Hebrews 12:14. And this is the holiness text of the Bible. It says, "Follow peace with all men." I don't know why I get hung up on this every time, but follow peace with all. Some people are not even trying to do that. I don't know why. I've got a feeling there's some of you here. You won't even go to your neighbor. You won't go to your husband or wife. You won't try to break down that wall or that barrier. Friend, as much as lieth in you, the Bible says, live peaceably with all men. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, friend, you can be an unbeliever if you want to, but I just simply believe this book. Let God be true and every man a liar. This book is true, and it'll be true when you stand at the judgment bar of God. And friend, I believe that we're going to have a holy heart if we make it to heaven. Then he went on and gave four reasons why you need this experience. The first reason, he said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. There you have it again. I say 9 out of 10 people that backslide, they backslide because they failed to go on in the holiness. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. That's the second reason. Lest that something on the inside rise up and rob you of your victory. He said, and thereby, the third reason, thereby many be defiled. Friends, you can't have an old carnal spell without it affecting and defiling others. This is one reason why so many children have gone astray and gone the other way. mom and dad professed holiness, and it didn't work in the home. And they saw the manifestation of that old foul spirit. Oh, my friend, if you have a carnal spell, it'll defile others. He said, fourth reason, lest there be any fornicator. Our profane person is Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. In other words, he's saying you need this experience, lest out there under pressure, you sell out just for a trifle, just for a mess of pottage, just for a few moments of pleasure. Oh, my friend tonight, we need this experience of heart holiness, where our heart is purged and purified by the incoming of the blessed Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if we preachers, if we don't confuse people. I do my best to just preach the plain word, just the truth. I have confidence in God's word. I believe it'll penetrate. I believe it'll go to the heart. But I wonder sometimes, because really, friends, it's so simple that a wayfaring man, though a fool, should not err therein. It really is. I mean, to receive the benefit of this into our heart and life. Paul said, in the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I'm glad if we'll answer the call. Thank God he will do it. He'll sanctify us wholly and give us a pure heart. But maybe we make it too complicated. Something happened just recently that really stirred me and thrilled me. Our daughter, our youngest daughter, Regina, she's got two little boys. There's Austin and Kelton. Austin is 6 years old and Kelton is three. But Austin is very headstrong. Actually, just like his mama was when she was little. But he's headstrong and determined, and he had such a terrible temper. He just couldn't seem to control his temper. And they were having to spank him sometimes two or three times every day, just trying to bring him under. And you know, Austin got saved. And he was so thrilled that the Lord had saved him. And he was telling others. And Regina said, for quite a while he went along, but said then all of a sudden he'd flare up. She said, Austin came to her. They've got some little cabins up there. And they were up at Hillsboro, and she was cleaning one of those cabins. And she said, Austin flared up and she said, he came to me and said, Mama, said, I don't know what's wrong. He said, Mama, I know the Lord saved me. But he said, Mama, what is wrong? Said, even though the Lord saved me, said, I can't seem to do what's right all the time. Said, every now and then, said, I just sin. That's what he told her. And Regina said, I didn't think he would understand, but she said, I thought maybe I ought to just explain a little. And so she said, I explained to him how that this old nature, carnal nature, that we inherited it from Adam, and that was the thing that made us sin to begin with. And she said, I told him, said, Austin, said, God can't forgive that because you didn't commit it. said, now he can forgive all of your outward sins, but said that has to be cleansed out of your heart by the incoming of the Holy Spirit. Said, we call it sanctification. And she said, all of a sudden, Austin looked at her and said, Mama, said, I need some time to myself. That's the way he said it. And she said, he turned and went into the bathroom. And she said, in a little while, said, he came out and said, his face was shining. And said, he looked at her and said, Mama, it's done. It's done. Said, I'm sanctified holy. And she said, it was done. She said, what a change was wrought in that little heart and life. I came by there on the way here. I'm telling you, you can't believe the difference. So, friend, it's not something that we have to struggle and beg and plead and teach. I mean, just as a little child, if we humble ourselves and he knows that we want a pure heart, that we want to be what he wants us to be, he'll do it. He said, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I want to ask you again, do you know there's been that time when the crisis has taken place? The Lord not only saved you, but you know he sanctified you. And you have a pure heart. Do you know that? It's going to happen. It's going to have to happen if you make it to heaven. Would you stand with us?